Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Lord, here we are, worshiping you with song, and if we're honest, it's only true some of the times. Lord, we just sang that though our worlds may fall, we'll never let you go, and yet we have to acknowledge that at times we're too quick to let you go. Is that true for anyone in here other than me? Anyone? Lord, and we say that we will worship you until the very end, and we say that's sometimes what we want to do, but we're just incapable of doing that all the time. Or is that just me, church? And so, Lord, we ask that your grace would speak to us in those moments of failure and speak to us the truth that your love for us is not dependent upon our discipline or our actions or the perfection with which we live out our faith. In fact, your love for us is huge regardless of who we are and what we do. And your love for us has nothing to do with us, but all to do with your character. And because of that, we say thank you. So somebody in the house say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for this holiday season where we get to gather, eat some turkey, and watch the Lions lose and call it thankfulness. But Lord, we know that Thanksgiving and Christmas is a very tough time for many. So if this is a tough stretch for you due to broken relationships or for whatever, stand up and we'll pray for you. Yeah, it's a very lonely time for many. So go ahead and put a hand on these brothers and sisters and we'll pray for them. Lord, we invite your kingdom to come. In fact, church, would you pray, kingdom come. May your will be done in these lives as it is in heaven. Lord, you tell us the Holy Spirit is named the Great Comforter, so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and bring comfort to our brothers and sisters who are standing here right now. Do you agree, church? Somebody say, may it be so. Lord, where there's brokenness, we ask that you would bring wholeness. Where there's a lack of peace, we pray that there would be tremendous peace. And where there's an absence of joy, we pray that you would bring laughter and joy. Do you agree, church? So may it be so. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we also, thank you, have a seat. Lord, we're also mindful that this is a good time. So if this is a good time for you, stand up and we'll give God some praise and prayer by your testimony of standing. You can clap for that. That's good. How about you whistle even if it's a good thing? So Lord, we're thankful. Somebody say, we're thankful. Somebody say, I'm thankful. Lord, we're thankful for the goodness of these days. We believe and want to acknowledge that belief that every good and perfect gift comes from you. It's all from you, Lord. And so we're thankful for the testimony of those standing today that these days are good. And I pray, Lord, that they would be contagious, that the goodness that they are experiencing would not be hoarded or kept to themselves, but that it would be freely given, that it would just roll off of them onto people they contact, Lord. So I pray that it would be so. Somebody say, may it be so. Yes, thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you're sick in the body in any way, shape, or form, stand up and we'll pray for you. Go ahead and put a hand on these brothers and sisters. Lord, we join your prayer. You taught us to pray. May your kingdom come. Somebody say, may your kingdom come. May your will be done in these bodies as it is in heaven. So, Lord, we are praying something that we believe to be true and yet often doubt that it's true. In heaven, there is no sickness. And when you taught us to pray that your kingdom would come, your will be done as it is in heaven right here, Lord, on earth, we pray that that heavenly health would hit these folks and make them whole today. Do you agree, church? Somebody say, may it be so. Lord, we know we don't go through life unopposed, even though we sometimes think we do. We know there's an enemy, a kingdom of darkness, the enemy of our soul. So we rebuke any and all sickness from the kingdom of darkness, any and all work of the demonic. In the name of Jesus, we say no in the name of Christ. Do you agree, church? So we pray the blood of Jesus over our friends standing and everyone in the house today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Before I get to the teaching, I got to tell you something, but I don't know if you're ready to receive it. Are you ready? Okay. Salim, I know you're always ready because I can hear you. You can all follow his lead. I like that. That's helpful for a preacher. How about you, Balcony? Are you ready to receive this word right here?
Yes.
I asked the Balcony, not you all. Just lean forward a little bit because I want to kind of keep it here. Shh, come on. Some of you aren't playing along. This place is better because you're here. It really is. And so I want to give God some praise. Just personally, you can watch. This is me thanking God that you are a part of the family called The River. So I'm glad you're here. Hey, I'm clapping, not you. This is me clapping for you. I'm glad that you are a part of the church, that you're a part of the family. This is a family, and the family is better when the family is present. So I'm glad you're here. This place is better than you're here. Without any further ado, let me get at the teaching for today. The word with is wonderful. Say that with me. The word with is wonderful. I'm thinking of the first time I went backpacking on Isle Royal. It was 1994, a few short months after I had just gotten married to Christy. Christy went south with a friend on a vacation. My brother and my dad and I decided to go backpacking up to a small island off the furthest most northern point of Michigan, and we took a six-hour boat ride, and we got on Isle Royal. It's the most densely populated place in the world for moose. And so in a 10-day period, I saw over 60 moose. It was amazing. During that 10 days, the first 5 days, I was with Jason and Mike, brother and dad, and it was delightful. One night, we were hanging out in the little cabin they had out in the middle of nowhere, and a moose came around the corner, walked towards our door, and then walked around, and we looked at each other in awe and shock. It was the first moose we had ever seen up close. It was wonderful to share that with my dad and my brother. Likening myself to an adventurer, I said goodbye to them because they weren't as adventurous and tough as I was, so they went home, and the last 5 days I spent alone. During that last 5 days, I felt the way that baby felt right there. Those last 5 days were horrible. I thought I would be wonderfully communing with nature and the Lord while I was all alone, but 5 days alone in nature was awful. It was not a good thing, and I longed to be with my dad and my brother again. It was awful. Fast forward. I've taken many people back to Isle Royal. I was a backpacking guide for a little bit, and it was one of our favorite destinations. But about 3 years ago, I said, you know what? I'm much more mature than I was in 1994. I can do this again. So I planned the course. I was going to hike the whole island in a few-day period. And I started walking, and I had my headphones in, doing some worship. And for about 8 hours, it was wonderful. But I realized something at about hour nine. With is a wonderful word. And without anyone to share the goodness of the island, I was a bit alone. And to be alone wasn't really good. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about when I say with is a wonderful word? A few weeks ago, our daughter had her volleyball banquet where all the parents got together and we were, you know, hanging out, food, eating food and seeing who won what award. I was in line in front of a guy, behind a guy who I'd never in my life met before. We began to talk, and I was just asking him the questions, where are you from, what you do, all that stuff. And somehow I asked him, you know, hey, so what about your parents? Are they still around? And he said, no, my mom died about a year ago. Now, you would think the discussion would have gotten awkward, and I'd have been like, oh, goodness, okay, how about the weather? But I said two words that exhibited the power of the word with. I looked at him and said, oh. Does that count as my word count? Because I said two words. Does oh count as a word? I need a ruling. No? Okay, good. Two words. I said, oh, me too. And when I said those two words, me too, this fellow who was about my age, you know, almost 50, looked at me and he looked me in the eye and there was a connection and we knew instantly that we were with one another in a way that others in the room weren't with us because we had a shared experience. There's something powerful about the two words, me too, because the word with is a wonderful word. And I'm wondering if we were in a small group setting, and I asked you, do you have a good with story where you did something wonderful with someone you loved? Because when you're with someone you love doing something you like, that thing you like becomes something you love because you are, you're catching on, because you are with someone you love. With is a wonderful word. Did anybody see Elsa save the day yet again? Spoiler alert, Elsa saved the day a second time. Frozen 2, we saw it over Thanksgiving vacation. Elsa saved the day. And there's something about the movie when you see the hero saving the day that quickens something on the inside of you, and you're kind of like, boy, I wish I would save the day. Or is that just me? Does anybody else kind of long to save the day? And that thought reminded me of my high school days when all of my buddies were flipping burgers for minimum wage, and my dad made me go get lifeguard training, and I loved him for it, because while they were flipping burgers for minimum wage, I was getting three times minimum wage sitting on the beach as a lifeguard. And I was a lifeguard all through high school and all through college, and I got paid very well. And during that stretch of time, one of the best parts is early morning when I was in college, I got hired, get this, by the Division I swim team to be the lifeguard. They could swim 100 times better than me, but legally they needed to train lifeguards, so they told me to come sit in with practice, bring a book, and just stay out of the way. It was delightful. During my stretch as a lifeguard, I got to be like Elsa, and I saved the day about 15 times. About 15 times I saved a life because I was a trained lifeguard. Now that sounds cool, doesn't it? It's about ready to sound a little less cool. I'm 6'5". I never had to go in over my head to save the day. It was always some 3 foot, 4 foot kid who was in over his head, and I just would walk out, grab him, pick him up, bring him back. But even though it didn't really sound cool or look cool, to be the one who saved the day was kind of cool, because they saw me save the day, and there was something that was very rich in the eyes of the one of whom I saved. There's about three times, this is no lie, once I was at a beach outside, as beaches usually are, outside, shallow in, two moms sitting like shin-deep water with their babies around them, having good discussion as moms do. And these moms, this happened three times, forgot that their babies don't know how to swim. And while moms were talking here, little baby would kind of waddle on over and fall over in the water, drowning literally inches from mom. And so I sprinted down, and about three different times I had to pick the baby up. And the mom looked at me each time like, what are you doing? And in my head I'm thinking, what are you doing? And I saved that little baby three times, not even in ankle-deep water hardly, but that baby needed saving. The word saved, it's a good word. Isn't it a good word? Somebody say that's a good word. And I'm wondering if we were in a small group setting and I said, hey, turn to your neighbor, tell them a time when you either got to be the one saving like Elsa, or you are the one who needed the saving. I'm not going to tell you what Elsa saved in Frozen 2. You'll have to see it. I'm wondering what you delight in. You know that thing that really, as Grandma said, tickles you pink? That always sounded a little weird to me, but Grandma said it, so I guess it was okay. The thing that you love to do, the thing that brings joy to the soul, that thing when you've got some free time, you just love to do it. I was talking to the other pastors here at the River, and I got to see some insight on them, and I know what they love to do. Mallory, our pastor of children's ministry, she's working right across the hallway over there. That woman, she knows I'm sharing. She probably doesn't know that I'm going to be teasing her as I share. Loves to shop at Goodwill. Who's judging her? If you would ask her, hey, tell me about your Goodwill days, she would just, her face would light up and she would tell that she absolutely loves shopping. And she'd tell you stories that it began when she was a little kid. When she's a little kid, she would tell you the stories of having at some time wearing six or seven different outfits in one single day. And her parents would actually punish her by saying, you can only wear one outfit today. Very cruel and unusual, I understand. But she loves going to Goodwill, and if you look hard enough, I'm told you can find good things at a great deal. If you would bring up, just see her today and say, hey, Goodwill, and see if her face delights. And then Brad, he's our pastor of discipleship and community, loves to ride his hog. Somebody say, it's not the hog I'm talking about. When the weather's nice, he loves to sit on his Harley and just fly down the road. And you can tell instantly that there's delight in his soul when he's sitting on his Harley. Can anybody relate to that? So far, would you rather ride a Harley or shop at Goodwill? How many of you would like to ride the Harley? Okay, how many of you would like to shop at Goodwill? How many of you would like to ride a Harley while wearing clothes you bought at Goodwill? Yeah. And then Mark, he's our youth pastor, student pastor, newly hired here at the River. I asked him last night, I said, hey, Mark, what do you love to do? And he reminded me of something he told me, I think, last Tuesday. He said he absolutely loves to write music. And he, unlike Mallory and Brad, who have to spend money on the thing that they delight in, sometimes you get paid to write music, right? I mean, that's a smart man right there who gets paid to do the thing he delights to do. I'm telling you, he loves to sit down, just write music, and it flows. So I'm going to ask him to come up here and write music for her right now. Come on, show us how it's done. Not going to happen. All right. The word delight, well, it's delightful. Do you agree?
Yes.
You have the thing you delight in too, that thing. If we were in a small group setting, and I said, tell that person next to you about the thing that you delight in, you would easily tell them, oh, I delight in this. Delight's not a word we use often, but you get the concept. Delight is delightful. You remember when mom or dad, maybe grandma, used to sing you to sleep at night? How many of you have memories of mom and dad or dad singing over you, just peacefully singing at night? Anybody have those memories? I share the following story with permission. We have five children. One of them happens to be a 14-year-old girl sitting over there who is a freshman in high school. I said, can I tell this story? And she said, sure. I said, are you sure? And she goes, yeah, I'm sure. Every night, no matter how tired she is, you can hear this ringing out the house. Mom! You could tell she's really tired. Mom, come tuck me in! Come tuck me in. And I've told you before that Christy is really excellent at something. What is that? Right, she falls asleep early, and I'm telling you what, no matter how tired Christy is, she'll get up, she'll stumble into her room, the 14-year-old. I won't tell you Reese's name, so she won't be embarrassed about this. And she'll pray over, and then she'll sing the same song she's sung over Reese for 14 years. And no matter how tired both of them are, you know what I see? I see a parent, a mom, rejoicing. Somebody say rejoicing. Rejoicing over a child in song. And it's delightful to see when a mother rejoices over her child. I've seen this rejoicing over a child in different ways. I've seen it at the aforementioned volleyball things that we have been going to. Volleyball season is over, but for about, you know, I don't know, 2-3 months, every single Saturday for 17 hours a day, we were at these volleyball things, right? And I would see parents rejoice over their children when they would do something. They'd hit a round thing over a net. Does it really matter in life if you can hit a ball over a net? No, unless your parents are in the stands and they see you, and parents can't help but rejoice when the kids do something that is good for the soul. The kids come alive and the parents rejoice, and sometimes the rejoicing in the stands resembles a song as they cheer and they scream, rejoicing over someone in song. I'm wondering if you have one of two memories, if you know in your mind who it was who used to rejoice over you in song. Or if you have a thing today that just brings joy to your heart and you can't help but rejoice at the goodness of the event, rejoice. Well, here we are. It's Advent, and we're going to the book of Zephaniah as you do every Christmas season. Amen? How many of you had no idea Zephaniah was a book of the Bible? It's okay. We can admit that. Some of you are lying right now in church. Come on. Thank you. Zephaniah 3:17, the prophet speaks of the Messiah to come, the Messiah whose birthday we're celebrating right now during this stretch of Advent as we prepare to just celebrate Christmas. Zephaniah talks of the Messiah to come. He hadn't come yet when Zephaniah wrote this. He says this, Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God, Who are we talking about here? It's not a quiz. It's not a hidden answer. I'm just making sure you're paying attention because some of you are watching the movement in the back. Are y'all with me here? The Lord your God. This is the one who created the heavens and the earth. This is the one that Genesis speaks of who spoke, and the Spirit of the Lord, the breath of God, created everything out of nothing. This is who we're talking about. The mighty one. The powerful one. The one who invented giraffes for who knows why. The one who sustains the world with his mere breath. This is the one, the powerful one. This is the one we're talking about. This is the one we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, the kind of powerful one. We're talking about the most powerful one. We're not talking about one of the gods. We're talking about the God. Do you understand who we're talking about here? The Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you in singing. With is a wonderful word. And it becomes even more wonderful when we realize that God himself took on the word with and called himself through the prophet Isaiah, Emmanuel, which means God. It means what, God? His very name implies that he wants to be with us. It's a wonderful word, and when we think of the creator of the universe who wants to be with us, there's something powerful there. He wants to be with you. I'm telling you truth that is maybe familiar, maybe not, but you need to hear it whether for the first or the thousandth time. God didn't create the world, didn't take a diaper, didn't grow into an adolescent who went through those awkward teen stages, right? And as I said last night, if you're a teenager, I'm not talking about you because you're not awkward. It's all your friends who are the awkward teen phase, right? God didn't do all of that. He didn't take the nails, didn't come out of the tomb so that we could be distant from him. He did it all so that he could be with us. Amen. Yeah. We have two values here at the River, the things that drive us to do what we want to do. The second of those two values is mercy, but it has to be second because the first one, intimacy, has to come first. Intimacy, God wants you and him to be close. The Lord your God might be with you if you get your act together. The Lord your God, he'll think about it. If you cross the religious T's and dot the religious I's, is that what the text says? No qualifier, no wondering, statement of fact, the Lord your God is with you. Somebody say is. Somebody say, is with me. If you find that to be good news, tell your face. Not only is he with you, this mighty warrior, he's a mighty warrior. He saves. A mighty warrior does that which seems very hard to others in a very easy manner. God is so powerful, his saving that he delivers unto us, is easy for him. Thank God for that, because like a baby in the shallow end who cannot save herself, you can't save yourself either. But there's a mighty warrior who's like a 6'5 lifeguard who walks into the 2-foot zone and says, I got you, no big deal. The Lord your God who is with you, who is a mighty warrior, he saves you. And this whole concept of the one with us who saves us, this is the reason we say those two words this time, Merry Christmas. The reason Santa works for Jesus and spreads joy is because the news of the Messiah is joyful. You didn't know maybe that Santa worked for Jesus, but he did because Jesus is about joy, because the fact that he's with us and saves us ought to bring some joy to the life. Merry Christmas. Jesus saves. The Lord your God, he's with you. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great, what's that word? He'll take great delight in that other person. Is that what it says? It says in you. We've established that I know how much Greek. How much Greek and Hebrew do I know? But how much Google do I know? It's pretty good at Google. If you were to do a word search on the phrase in you, you would discover that it actually means in you. It's nothing hidden. It's nothing tricky. There's not a nuance to it. The Bible simply is telling us that God delights in you. Amen. He delights in you. He's not just talking about the other guy. He's talking about you. And when the other guy hears it, he's talking about him or her. God delights in you. Last week, when I was away on a little family getaway, actually, that's not true. I wasn't gone last week on a family getaway. I wasn't here last week because I was on a little prayer retreat at a cabin up north. While I was up there, Brad did some preaching. And if you haven't heard that sermon, go online, take our download our app, listen to it on the podcast. It's a powerful message. He asked the question, what do you think God thinks of you? It's a powerful question because often we think that God thinks of us only how good we are. If you're having a good day, God thinks highly of you. If you're having a bad day, he thinks lowly of you. But Brad made it clear that's not the case, that you're a beloved child. You're an adopted son, an adopted daughter. You're the one that God calls his own. He thinks the world of you, and you are the one that he delights in. Are you guys glad that you get paid for that which you earn? Not a secret question either, right? I mean, I am. Christy and I were talking this week about that parable where Jesus tells a story of these guys who come early in the morning, and he says, the guy who hired them says, I'll pay you this much money. Okay. Later in the day, some guys come, and they work a lot less than that guy, but here they are, they're working. And then later in the day, some guys come, and here they are. And then some guys come right before quitting time. And at quitting time, the guy who agreed to pay these guys this much actually paid these people, who only worked for a little bit, the amount that he promised to pay those guys who worked a full day. And so when it came time to pay these guys who had been working the whole day, they were thinking, man, I'm going to get it today. Woo, because he paid them this, what he promised me to those guys, those slackers, right, who only worked this much. But when he gets there, he paid them what they agreed upon, which seems so unfair, and I hate that parable, as does Christy. How many of you hate that? I mean, it's just not right because you should get what you earn. Merit-based economy is a delightful thing. Amen? But Jesus really wasn't teaching economics in that story. He was teaching theology. You see, merit-based economics, it's wonderful, but merit-based theology is deadly. And in the eyes of the Lord, he delights in you just because that's who he is. And you don't have to earn anything. With Jesus, thank you. Salim, clap for that. With Jesus, there is no earning the delight. With Jesus, you just get to be delighted in, not because of who you are, but because that is his very nature. The Lord your God, the mighty warrior who saves, he will delight in you. Remember that lullaby? He will no longer rebuke you. But the Lord your God will rejoice over you with singing. A lullaby, a song over you. He's the loving parent. You're the 14-year-old girl who says, Mom, Mom, come tuck me in. And no matter how tired you might be, he is always awake and ready to sing over you and rejoice over you in song. You're that kid. And that's why we can say Merry Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Usually when somebody says Merry Christmas, you say Merry Christmas. So I got four responses for you. Some opportunities to take the good news of this God who does these things over us. He's with us. He saves us. He delights in us. And he rejoices over us with singing. I got four options coming out of that. But I want to tell you that when I was listening to Brad's sermon on the podcast the other day, I thought he and I were going to have an issue. Because for years, while I'm up here, I've said so many times, God doesn't want from you. He wants for you. You don't have to do anything for him to get anything. He just wants blessings for you. So I've always taken those two prepositions, from and for, and say, God wants for you. He doesn't want from you. And then I heard Brad say, as I listened to his sermon on the podcast, he goes, hey, it's all about from and not for. I was like, Brad, what are you thinking? But as explained, he was speaking a bit differently by way of context, and I absolutely agree with him. He said, because of the grace God has for us, because of who he is, he actually said this, here's a quote. God provides out of his goodness, not out of our worthiness. I'm going to say that again because that was really good. You ready to hear something cool?
Yes.
God provides out of his goodness, not our worthiness. Amen. Out of God's goodness, he provides good things for us. He is with us. He saves us. He delights in us and he rejoices over us. Out of his goodness, not our worthiness. And then Brad went on to say, and I couldn't have agreed more, out of that place of God's grace, from that place, we are able to live a life that blesses other people. From the place of God being a God of grace and mercy, from those blessings, we get to live from that place a life of blessing for other people. We don't have to live a life of blessing other people for the sake of getting God's gifts. We don't have to do good things for the hope that God would bless us. It's not for, it's from. Because we live from a place of mercy and grace, we get to live a life that blesses other people. And with that thought in mind, I got four options for you to live from the mercies of God, just because that's who he is, where you can bless people. The first one, it's generic, and it's up to you to figure out really what it is. And here it is. Your world needs you to be somebody who shows them that God is with them, that God saves them, that God delights in them, and that God rejoices over them. The world has a bad image, a wrong image of who Jesus is, and the world needs you. Now, the world might just be your neighborhood. It might just be your place of employment. It might just be your family. It just might be your little slice of the pie. You really don't have to go and be in the whole world. You just have to be part of your world. Your world needs you to live out these four truths that God is a God who's with, a God who saves, a God who delights, and a God who rejoices. Your calling is to be a person who shows that to everyone who sees you. Do you understand?
Yes.
A second one, also kind of generic. It's up for you to maybe finish. We have that second value, which I already alluded to. The first one's intimacy. The second one is what?
Mercy.
So we believe God called us to this location so that we could be in part about loving the lost, the least, and the lonely. Many of you can drive in. I saw your cars coming in today. But many of you who call this your home can't drive out. Many of you, for whatever reason, find yourselves down on your luck or whatever and are part of the gospel mission. And many churches, unintentionally, not with intent, have excluded you from the community. But God said, stay here so that there can be a faith community that people who happen to find themselves homeless for a season or for longer than a season can call their home and be a part of the family. We believe God called us to be about the lost, the least, and the lonely. And so maybe secondly, you can be a person who lives from a place of grace to bring this grace to the lost, the least, the lonely community. We have opportunities for you to get plugged in. You can check them out at My Church, My Serve booths out there. You know, as you leave, where's a place where you can serve and love on people who are often overlooked by the general populace? There's a third one, a lot less specific. And it has to do with Gabe. Y'all know Gabe? Gabe, up until the point when he was a 10-year-old boy, was a normal, active, hyper, fun, loving, energetic, barely set still kind of kid. But when Gabe hit 10, about 27, 28 years ago, he was afflicted with something called adrenal leukodystrophy. Say that. Very good. If you want to know what adrenal leukodystrophy is, there's a movie called Lorenzo's Oil that was, I don't know, it's really old, but you can find it. It's a pretty powerful movie. Gabe came down with adrenal leukodystrophy, and within a year and a half time, he went from active to couldn't move. And the only response that he could give with this affliction upon him was a hand squeeze, or a shake of his face, a move of his face when his family came around. And the doctors gave him a very short lifespan, because when you are afflicted with adrenal leukodystrophy, you're not supposed to live for long, but he went on to live for 25 more years. And his mom is right over there. And I saw his brother come in today. He might be serving in the nursery. Gabe Ingbers died a few years ago. And when he passed on, his mom and dad and the family said, you know what, we want to do something to serve out of this place of hurt. Because they know of a God who is with them, who delights over them, who saves them and rejoices over them. And they wanted others who were in a rough place to know of this God that sustained them during their rough days as Gabe struggled through life. And so they came up with this idea called Gabe's Giving Tree. Have you ever heard of Gabe's Giving Tree? Anybody? Gabe's Giving Tree is actually right out there and to the right. It's a tree with a boatload of names on there, a little sticker thing, not stickers, but little cards, where you, do you remember how we established in the Hebrew and the Greek the word you isn't a hidden word, it actually means you? That's what I'm talking about now. Where you can just go out there and grab one of those cards. And on it, you might see a name, you might see a certain type of gift, and everything that is there, it's up for you to get that gift, to wrap it up and to bring it back, so that on December 13th, December 15th, those gifts can be taken to those who otherwise wouldn't be able to celebrate the birth of Jesus joyfully with a gift. I'm thinking of you. And I'm thinking that after this service, there ought to be no more cards on that there tree. Because you can be an agent who brings the truth and the love of this God specifically in that way. And then the fourth way that you maybe can respond to the goodness of this God who is with us, who saves us, who delights over us and rejoices over us with song. The fourth way is also specific, and it has to do with this right here. I made this. Why are you laughing, Tony? What do you think of my handiwork? Do you actually believe I made this? I found it. All by myself. Right here is our grace-giving box that I did not make. About once a year, we have a special season of grace giving where we collect a special offering. Notice it's a special. It's grace giving. It's not part of our joy boxes. Yeah. And the reason whenever I say joy boxes and you all say heart, it's because we believe, A, that generosity is a great thing, and generosity can't be manipulated or forced or threatened you into, right? And so whenever I reference our joy boxes, it's up to you and the Lord. If you don't feel like giving, what? But there's something beautiful when you give generously. So this is above and beyond the joy box thing. And this box is going to be here that I didn't make. It's going to be here all month long. And every single penny that gets put in there, every dollar that gets put in there, every check that gets put in there goes to our friends in Guatemala City. In 2016, we had already been in Guatemala for a year because we started in 2015. That's so right there. In 2015, we began a partnership with Children's Hope Chest and a man named Giuseppe and a church called The River. And the partnership aims to provide clothing, education, food, support, discipleship for these children down in Guatemala City, the poorest of the poor, kind of the outcast of their society, often called the dump children, the children of the dump, because their parents, you can actually Google this, type in the dump of Guatemala City, massive size dump, hundreds of football fields big, garbage beyond the eye can see. And these people with their hands on a garbage truck, because if you put your hand on that garbage truck, that means you claim ownership. And about 50 people with a hand on this garbage truck, people die there on a regular basis because the garbage truck ain't going to stop if you trip and fall. These people are trying to find something to recycle or something to eat so that they can provide for their children who are at Giuseppe's school. And when I went down there for the first time, I think the best thing that I ever saw is these children who are outcasts, set aside, nobody loves them. The first thing they do when they walk into the school is every single teacher hugs them. It's a hug line. Now, if that happened here in America, that'd be creepy and weird, right? But it's beautiful down there. These kids who are outcast and set aside get a hug every day to start their day. And so our partnership began with them in 2015. In 2017, with the insights of Giuseppe, who lives on the ground, we realized, as he realized, that English language would further their future hopes and dreams. The ability to speak English would help them in the tomorrow. And so we decided to fund an English education program, which costs around $15,000 a year. That there bucket, by the end of this month, needs to have around $15,000 in it so that we can send all of it through Hope Chest to Giuseppe to fund the English education program so that these young kids who are growing up formerly hopeless, now with hope, can be educated and discipled so that their tomorrow is much more bright than their today. And so you can respond very specifically by grace giving. The entire month, that bucket that I didn't make is going to be right there. Maybe today you have a few bucks extra, you just throw it right in there. If you don't feel like giving, don't give. Maybe you can write a check today, but everything that goes in there is going to go help fund the work we do with English education for our friends in Guatemala City. I want to read a verse to you. A verse that, at its core, is the reason we say Merry Christmas. It's from Zephaniah, chapter 3. Verse 17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And so if this is your church home and you're a follower of Christ, don't forget your joy boxes. If you need prayer of any kind, you can go out, take a left. Prayer team will be over there. And Brad spoke on prayer last week. You can write a prayer on those little white sheets of paper and fold them up and put them in anywhere into these. It'd be a cool way to get at prayer. If you need information of any kind, go out there, take a right at the welcome booth. They have some answers for you. But while I go and get Barkley to go out to say goodbye to you, don't leave yet. I want you to watch this video for a couple minutes for the discipline of the month. Have a good week. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.